You will exit your business one day. That's a given. And it's either because you're going to want to or because you have to. And most people don't give enough time to that.
Hello, and welcome to episode 188 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter, and I'll be your host. On today's episode, we are joined by Pete Moore, founder of Simplifying Entrepreneurship. As a real estate agent, you most likely got into this profession to avoid the 9-to-5 and create a better lifestyle for yourself. Well, as a business owner, that's exactly what Pete did, and he now coaches fellow entrepreneurs to do the same. Throughout our conversation, Pete shares his tips for building a business that is not solely dependent on you, with a well-thought-out vision and repeatable processes that can be passed along as you grow. Not only do we talk about ways to scale your business, in the second half of our conversation, Pete dives into the topic of exit strategy and how to properly set your business up for your exit, whether it is planned or not. But before we get on to today's featured interview, the Smart Agents magazine is available and full of insights and strategies designed to help real estate agents grow their businesses. Inside, you'll find interviews and advice from leading real estate professionals, marketing tips to flood your business with leads, and even swipe and deploy files full of practical tools to enhance your business. Be sure to click the link in the episode description to claim a free digital issue. Also, if you enjoy this conversation, be sure to like and subscribe. The Smart Agents Podcast streams on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and of course, YouTube. And finally, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to today's featured interview with Pete Moore. If you're interested in learning more from Pete or checking out his podcast, Business Owner's Breakthrough, I've included several links in the episode description. Again, really the way I like to start everything out is if you could just reintroduce yourself to us. It's been about, you know, a little over a year since the last time we spoke.
Yeah. So my name's Pete Moore, and I am a speaker, retailer, and a business coach. And we have in Canada here, we have a couple of shoe stores. So I'm able to use like a lot of the stuff that I developed, Michael. I need it for myself, for my own business operations and the things that I'm trying to work through with my team. It's like, how can we take these tools and these concepts and then overlay them on almost any industry as a small business owner, right? And that's why, you know, I do what I do on the coaching side of things. And sort of my philosophy behind business is that you own your business and it shouldn't own you. And you've probably heard that line before, but I truly believe it. And everything I do is around that sort of philosophy, where how can we free up the business owner to enjoy the life that they want to live? Because when they first started business, it's like they had this idea, and that idea was uniquely theirs, right? It's not my idea, it's their idea, that if they opened their own business, they would have a better life than what they're currently, you know, having. So as we're talking to realtors today, and I used to be a realtor as well, I never sold a lot of homes, but I was a business broker, and I still needed my realtor's license. So I was helping people buy and sell businesses. But at the same time, understanding that there are certain freedoms, but there are all these different things around realtor lifestyle. And the idea is, how are you setting your business up so that you can live the life you want to live while running your business, and using your business to prop up the life you want to live, as opposed to having your business take down some of the freedoms that you're missing. And so this is the structure and the process that I try and work through with all of my clients. It's like, okay, first of all, let's understand what you want. And secondarily, let's dig at all of the process and the pieces that can help deliver that back to you. Because you go out in business for a certain reason, and those usually revolve around you wanted more freedoms. And that those freedoms could be freedom of time, freedom of relationship, freedom of health, freedom of wealth. You know, all these different things that we look at sort of big pictures for ourselves. Because as business owners, our lives and our businesses are tied together so tightly. That if we don't use our business to prop up a better life, then the business usually doesn't give us one.
Right. And I think that's what, you know, is so interesting about, you know, real estate and then the sales in general is, regardless of what, you know, subset of you know, entrepreneurial, you know, whether it's the shoe industry or real estate, you know, all of these tips and advice and all these different concepts, they all intermingle between the different avenues of sales.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And, you know, my business is called Simplifying Entrepreneurship, and it's not simplifying retail store ownership. It's not simplifying real estate. But ultimately, it's this concept around, if you don't currently feel as though the business you're running is giving you what you want out of life, then you got to make some change. And what are those changes? And you start that off by, what do you want out of your life? And then we backload by, let's build the business. And it takes some time, Michael, man. It takes some time to do this stuff. But you first have to have these guiding principles of what you want so that you can start laying out the proper business so that it's going to drive it home for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of times when people start building their businesses, they think of like that mission statement or whatever. But you really talk about the promise of your business. So tell me about how, like, what that is and how that works into this whole process.
Yeah. So we kind of started off a little bit here talking about vision. So when I think about the differences between vision, mission, and promise. So vision is really, in my opinion, it's really what you want out of your life. And how am I going to lay out the vision statements for my business to capture that? Because that's the end result that you want as the business owner. So that, to me, there's a whole bunch behind it. We could talk a day about vision, but that's sort of the Coles notes. The next piece is the mission. And when I look at the mission, I look at the mission as your marching orders. So with that guiding star of the vision in mind, what's the mission? And the mission is, what are we going to do, by when, and why? So the mission statement is, we are going to, whatever, sell 100 houses by the next 3-year period, because if we sell 100 houses, we're going to, and then your sort of promise and everything lines into that. But essentially, there has to be a mission statement, has to have a definitive time and purpose. And a lot of mission statements don't. So, because they're your marching orders. And if you think of it from that perspective, I need marching orders to follow for a mission. And I have the guiding principles of the vision leading me. So the next piece, and there's a whole bunch of mission work there, right? But the next piece is the promise. And the promise I really, really like, because the main difference between the vision and the mission are, they are internal documents. They're the ones that guide you and help you and your team through what you're trying to work through. The promise is what you're promising your client. The promise is outwardly facing. So if I use, flipping back to our shoe stores, for example, because everybody's familiar with shoe stores, our promise for our shoe stores is 4 words. It's look great and feel fantastic. Well, that's on the wall behind our cash register. It's in a lot of our marketing. It's when I'm doing social media and stuff like that, it's what I'm talking about all the time. I'll literally say, hey, look at this shoe. It helps you look great. Or I'll say, hey, look at this boot. It helps you look fantastic. Or I'll say, hey, this sandal helps you look great and feel fantastic, which is the idea, because we want them to feel fantastic and look great, not one or the other. But certain ones are going to skew to either way, and you change your message around that. But if you have these guiding principles, some would use it as a slogan or whatever the case is, but I call it your promise, because the promise around what it is that you do is taking them from where they were through your unique process to have a better life. And that's the transformation that you're taking them through in your promise. So, and it's very easy to do in the realtor side of things. It's like, okay, here's where you are now. You know the house you live in, right? And here's my unique process. Not the same as everybody else. I'm not just a realtor. I'm taking my unique process, the way I package things and why your differentiating factors, right? And how you want to place those in between where they are now and where they want to be. That's the transformation of the promise. And when you have that nailed down in simple language from anywhere between 3 to 7 words, that's when it gets powerful. And you can use those kind of, that kind of language in your promise and put it on your website. You put it on everything. You put on your business card. You put, and you live that transformation. You live that in every time you go out on this, on the sales, like to do a sales call. You, it's in everything that you do, all the social media, all the different things, all the different pieces of the puzzle that help people find you. I think the biggest piece for the promise is, nobody is going to pick you as the realtor until you show them a better life through you. And that's what the promise needs to show, right? It needs to show that here's where I am, here's where I want to be, and this middle piece of your unique process is the differentiating factor on why I want to pick you. Because nobody, everybody spends money only to have a better life.
And I think that's, you know, when you talk about the, you know, the promise for a real estate agent, I mean, one of the, I mean, you just think a promise could simply be, you know, just guiding you through the home buy, you know, educating you. There's so many different ways that you can go about that by showing that you are, you know, that, that advocate for your buyers and sellers. And really you can start incorporating that into all of your branding and, you know, your entire, all of your messaging.
Everything's built on the promise, Michael. So, you know, I think in our last podcast, we talked about the five P's briefly anyway, you know, and the five P's are, it starts with the promise. You align your product, your process, and your people to that promise so you can have the right amount of profit. When you have the right amount of profit, then you can have the better life. So that's sort of a core philosophy that I work with all the different business owners that I work with. But this idea here is that you have to understand where it all starts and what's the transformation that you want, how is it different, and how can you use language around that promise that's going to tweak the right people. And because as much as a promise is important on finding the right ones, it's also just as important to repel the wrong ones.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you talk about the promise and really earlier talking about the mission, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs and just people in general, you know, they kind of stop at the mission statement because they almost think that's the outward messaging. And so how do you coach, what are you doing to coach these people to, you know, your clients to kind of, okay, we can't stop at the mission statement. That's for you. Those are your marching orders. We got to take it a step further.
Yeah. So it really is part of, I use a lot of different frameworks, and this framework that I would use for this one is called the CPA, and that's not your chartered professional accountancy. It's really your mastery as a business owner and a business leader around communication, process management, and accountability. So as you go from being a solo realtor to having a team, and as you grow to building that team, it's so much more important to get the stuff out of your head. When it's just you in your head, you can get by. But when it's, when you start building a team, it's getting it out of your head and putting it into ways that other people can understand it. And that's why these things need to be written down. Even if you are a solopreneur right now and you're running a one-person realtor, you know, and that's the way it's, it, it has been. If you have, if you want to grow and you want to build a team and you want to have, you know, your own office and all this other stuff as you build out, then these are the kind of pieces of the puzzle that you should be starting with now. And if you haven't got them and you already have those, then you have to go back and revisit this stuff, because a lot of times in growth, we forget about some of the stuff and we just kind of like, it's like stuff's coming in and we're just dealing with putting out the fires and growing our business and all this kind of stuff. But you still need to take the time to go back and work through this, because how important is growing your communication as a leader? It's vitally important. How important is your process management within your business so that when you're taking that customer from their pain to their gain, like we talked about, that middle piece of process management, if it isn't repeatable, if it isn't searchable, if it isn't understandable, if it isn't, you know, all of these things by the rest of your team, they're not going to deliver the promise. And if they're not delivering the promise, you have a, you have problems with that particular client and potentially a whole lot more. So we got to understand that process piece And then once we're really good with our process piece, we align and assign accountability, right? Because as you grow, there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many weekends you can do. There's only so many nights you can, you know, go show people stuff and have your meetings and all of these different things. It's like, as we grow, we need to align and assign accountability. One of the big things that I hear, Michael, is that when people start to align and assign accountability, they're like, I just don't trust them yet. They don't want to release the accountability, right? I just don't trust them yet. And my philosophy around that is that it's probably not that you don't trust the person. Because if you don't trust the person, it's a good chance they shouldn't be working for you. The reality of it is you probably don't trust the process. So digging back to the process piece, you need to hone your process to the point where you can trust the process being done without you. And when that is happening, you're going to feel much more comfortable aligning and assigning authority and accountability to somebody else so that they can tackle those pieces for you. And it's a never-ending process. We're always trying to improve our processes along the way to, you know, get them better, but you have to start somewhere.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, like you said, you know, with a real estate agent, even if you are doing things solo, I think it's so smart to, and even just for yourself, because things change all the time, things come up, just to have those, you know, those SOPs kind of written out, and they can evolve as new technology comes out, or you find a better way to go about doing something, or maybe your business model changes, but constantly changing those so that when it does come time, or when you do feel like, okay, I'm ready to go to the next level, I just want to hire on just a VA to handle some of the paperwork, you have all that stuff ready to go, and it's not a huge burden on having to, okay, not only do I have to hire the person, I have to figure out their whole onboarding process.
Yeah. We use VAs as well with our business. And I mean, I'm sort of tool agnostic, but you know, when we do use Trello, and Trello's a project management board, essentially, for anybody who's listening that doesn't know what Trello is. But essentially, it doesn't matter what sort of project management tool you use. The idea is that it has a flow through and it can be done in steps. And for us, when we use that sort of stuff, we have to think about, you actually have to think about the steps. You have to take them out of your head and put them onto paper, and then put them on the paper into some sort of platform that you can share with others so that they can do it too. And so we have used Trello for years for that sort of stuff, and it just works for us. But whether you're using, you know, all these different the Jot forms or Airtable or any of these different ones, it's all good. The idea is that it has to come out of your head. You can't transfer the information if it's all in your head. So start making these charts, start making the lists, and start having them ready so that you can actually show them to somebody else and they can go through them and they can test them and try them. And that's the best way to do, right? When you're starting to release some of the stuff to somebody else, you have them test a couple. And if it doesn't go well, you tweak it a little bit until you're comfortable with it. And then you say, ah, we got it this time. And when you have it, it's like, boom. Do it again. Like when you think of a listing, all of the things that go into a listing, right? That's a process. It's like, it's got to go up on realtor.com, and we need the pictures. We need this. There's step-by-step procedures there. And you should have all of those in a listing document so that either you're checking them manually or you're checking them digitally, whatever works for you. And then, or somebody else is checking pieces of that list and you're checking pieces of that list as you're aligning and assigning accountability to those different levels.
Right.
And that's your process piece, right? The CPA, you have to communicate what's expected and build your communication skills, improve those process pieces in your business, and then hand them off. And now I'm working on the dashboard level of my business as opposed to the detail level of my business. I call it moving from detail to dashboard, right? And so if you can pan off 80% of that detail work, then your time, as your time gets shallower and shallower, as you get busier, you get your time back.
Right. Right. And by getting that time back, you know, you're able to fulfill that promise to your clients and your customers on what it was your initial, like, hey, I am going to be that advocate. I'm, you know, if you're the agent, I'm going to guide you through this whole process and make it as stress-free as possible. Well, if you're as stress-free as possible, it's going to help you have more time to deal with them.
For sure. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And here's the other piece. It's like if a whole bunch, if you're used to, if what you like to do is be client facing, you want to be what I call the actor on the stage, then let somebody else produce the stuff in behind you. And you spend your time FaceTime with clients. If that's where your best value is, then that's where you should be. And I can flip this back to our shoe stores, for example. I'm here having a conversation with you today, and I work predominantly out of my home office. When my team needs me, they tell me, hey, can you come in? And this happened last week. Can you come in and do 30 videos for our spring releases? So I set up time in my schedule. I went in before the store opened and I knocked off 30 videos for my team. And then that's my job. One of my jobs at Shootopia is to be on camera. And so I go in, I do my work, and then my videos are like, and I hand over, I didn't hand it over physically, but I said, they're all in my G Drive at this address. And then from there, we have process in place where somebody else owns it, even down to the posting of that, right? Like I never, after I'm on live, like after I've done those videos, I don't do the editing. I don't do any of the captioning. It all happens outside of me. My job is to be client facing. And in that case, it's client facing online through Instagram and Facebook and all that other stuff, LinkedIn, whatever the case is. But, you know, think about how you can, and I'm talking to you, the listener, think about how you can, what your best qualities are and how you can spend more time of your time that you're willing to put into this doing those very things, and how you can process out, communicate your wishes, and align and assign accountability to others, because that's when your business has a chance to explode exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to move on to this other, you know, kind of, we talked about really kind of blowing up your business. And that's really, you know, our last time talking, we really dove into these, the five P's and, yeah, and even, touching on, these, you know, building out your processes. But yeah, one of the other things, that, you know, you do eventually in real estate agents, obviously you want to start thinking about is the end game. You don't want to be doing this forever. You want to build it to where you can eventually walk away from it very comfortably.
Yeah. And I think this is interesting. As I said, I used to be a realtor and a business broker and helping people buy and sell businesses. And from that perspective, it's like you will exit your business one day. That's a given. And it's either because you're going to want to or because you have to. And your business should be set up now, even if you're thinking you want to exit your business 30 years from now or 20 years from now, your business still should be set up today to exit your business today. And most people don't give enough time to that. And when we look at that, I mean, there's a few D's that I use around exiting. One is death. People die, and you will too someday. Divorce causes a lot of people to exit business. Disability causes a lot of people to exit business. Disagreements, as in partnership disagreements, if you're in partnership with someone, causes a lot of people to exit businesses. So those four things are things that can be things that you think about and plan towards in the proper setting up of your business, because the proper setting up of your business to sell isn't just your client list. It isn't just your client list. There's human capital involved, right? And think about your team. If you do have a team, there's human capital involved that, depending on how you've laid that out in the process and the accountability structure, that's the importance of the CPA, that when you have that aligned so that somebody else can come in and sit in your chair and business just operates, how much more valuable is that than if they're just buying a client list? So you have your sort of, I call that your process capital, right? You have your process capital piece. So how good is your process? If it's super really good, you're going to get exponentially more for your client list, let's call it, you know, as opposed to just selling the client list. And so your process capital, you also have your social capital. How well are you and your brand known in your area, right? And I understand that a lot of the realtors' social capital has to do with their own personal name in a lot of cases, but this may even get you thinking about, well, should I actually have another brand, Hometown Realty, or, you know, whatever the case is, so that when I do want to exit, I can sell that brand as a piece of it, right? And so this is an interesting piece of your capital piece as well. So when you look at your people, when you look at your social capital, your financial capital, of course, maybe you own the building or whatever the case is that you're in, there's that piece of the puzzle when you exit the building or when you exit the business. But all of these different pieces equate to your exit planning strategy. And I can't tell you, even for the solopreneur, how important it is to have an exit planning strategy that includes a financial plan, a personal plan, a insurance, sort of all your insurances are covered, all of these different things. Because one of the biggest things is people exit their business, and we see this all the time. They don't know what to do. 70% of people that exit their business within the first year regret the fact that they exited their business. 70%. It's a big, big number. Why is that? It's generally because they don't have an exit plan. They don't actually, they just say, oh, I'm going to retire at 65. But what does that look like? What does that mean? And what am I going to do with my finances, with my life, with all these other things? Because we talked at the beginning about when you start business, you're getting into business to have a better life. But a lot of people during the time that they've been working forgot what a better life looks like. So we have to go back into this idea of having those guiding principles, that vision, and really understand what it is I'm going to do afterwards. Because when I go to sell it, I want to make sure that not only do the dollars equate, but everything else equates. And if it doesn't equate, those are the 70% of people that are unhappy with the fact that they sold their business. And that's at any age, by the way. That's not just in, like, a retirement age type thing. That's just like, I shouldn't have sold that business.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it is, you know, some of the things you mentioned there was just even, you know, the insurances and making sure all that's, you know, available to you. You have a plan for that when you leave your business. I think that's a huge thing that people don't think about until it's almost too late sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, we get kind of, it's a normal business thing. We just get busy doing what we're doing. And if we don't take time to sit down, think about these things, either quarterly, yearly, whatever, whatever your rhythm is. And that's another whole topic on meeting rhythms if you have a team. But, you know, for whatever your rhythm is, you need to actually have planning time. So there's focus time, flex time, and free time from that perspective. And you need to actually plan your focus time around this. And you need to sit down and you say, if I died tomorrow, what would happen here? Right. And if you have a family, it's like, how would they fare out with all of this? If I became disabled tomorrow, in other words, if somebody happened to strike me with a vehicle and I broke my hip and I couldn't do all of my home showings and I couldn't do, you know, get out and see people and all this other stuff, what does that mean? Right. If I'm married and there was a divorce, and we don't like to think about all these things all the time. We put them in the back burner thinking it'll never happen to us until it happens to our next door neighbor and our business friend and our cousin and all this other stuff. And it's like, and then we kind of look at it and say, oh, geez, I hope that doesn't happen to me. And then don't do any planning around it again.
Right.
So, you know, as much as some of these things are hard to think about, it's like, what happens here? Is my business lined up properly? Is my corporate structure lined up properly to manage this? Am I insured properly to manage this? And how do the other ramifications of what my income as a realtor means to my family and to me? And am I covered in all that stuff? And I'm not saying you need to look at this kind of thing every day. You don't. Right. But you do need to have a plan. And you do need to look at it occasionally. And you do need to go back and review it because things change. And if you did this kind of work 5 years ago, there's a good chance 5 years from now, or at this point, it's changed. You know, I think, I don't know whether the stats are still the same, Michael, but, you know, I think on average, people change houses about every 7 years. Is that still a stat that is?
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's kind of our norm.
Yeah. So if people are changing houses every year and you did this work 7 years ago, there's a pretty darn good, because people change houses because their lives are different.
Right.
Than they were 7 years ago.
Right.
And if you did this kind of work 7 years ago or 10 years ago or however, never, then it's time for you to revisit this stuff. Yeah. And working with a certified exit planner or whatever, you know, working with somebody going through this is going to help you understand a little bit more and think about some of the things you may not have thought about that are going to potentially set you up for success in the future as you exit your business. Because all of the stuff we talked about today, you know, building that business, getting your process, starting that promise, having everything aligned, all this stuff is to help you build and grow your business. But when you build and grow your business, you actually want to exit it properly.
Right. And I think that's what, you know, why it is so important to have, you know, people like yourselves or other, you know, just business planning coaches or just accountability coaches, because, you know, in the real estate, you talk about, you know, the solo real estate agent. And, you know, a lot of times it is, you know, you're building that personal brand around your name, but I am, honestly, I'm starting to see a lot more younger agents that now aren't necessarily branding their name, but they are building, you know, a brand. And I think it's so smart because they can easily build a team under that, eventually sell it. It's not their face that is the only, you know, marketable piece to that business.
I'll flip that back to shoe stores. Mm-hmm. So, because it's a similar sort of thing. I could have called our business Moore's Footwear or Moore's Shoes. My last name is Moore, M-O-H-R. And, you know, I could have called it that. And many people do. Many independent companies call themselves that. But I called it Shoetopia. Because Shoetopia is, it says what it is, first of all.
Right.
It's easy to understand. And it's transferable.
Yeah.
And think about the valuation of a brand that you've built for 30 years with that name, as opposed to the brand with your name. And the new person's coming in and saying, but my last name isn't Moore.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's like, yeah, I know, but I've got this client list and I have a team now, but there's your multiple that we're talking about. Right? Like, do I want to get real value? Because if I'm building this business under a name that people know, love, and trust in the community that I work in, because realtors are community-based, people have known this name. They know, love, and trust it. They've bought, over the last 21 years, they bought 3 houses from me. And it's like, this has value. And not saying your name doesn't have value and all those other things too. I'm just saying this can become exponentially more for you as you build the process, as you build the brand, as you build your that's part of the social capital, right? When we look at the branding piece, that's part of your social capital. That's going to give you a multiple on your exit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So when, you know, when you are, you know, working with people, what type of, you know, you talked about reevaluating these things, and do you almost have like a checklist that you want to go through to reevaluate? Okay. Am I doing the things to set myself up for future exit, whether it's next week or in 10 years from now?
Yes. To put it quickly, but ultimately, everybody's at a different stage, you know, Michael, and it depends on where they're at and where they want to be. And it depends on, are we building process because you're looking at the long-term game here and you want to, are you in the growth mode? Or are we looking at sometime over the next 3 to 5 years exiting? And if we are, we still have to build process. We still have to build social capital and all that stuff. But it is a little bit different than when you're in the ramp up stage. And That being said, both are vitally important for valuation. So it really is the same conversation around communication process and accountability and around the 5P framework in order to build that in so that you can have the right amount of profit. But if you flip it back to an evaluation side of things, it's like, well, if you have the right amount of profit, you're going to get a good turn on your exit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, everybody's in a different, you know, stage of this. So, you know, you can use those same concepts, just know where you're at and what your end result or where your, you know, next year result wants to be.
It really starts with that question. What do you want out of your life? Like, and I mean, it's got to be, and it's uniquely your question. It's not my question. I can't tell you what you want, but, you know, really driving down into understanding, oh, I want to live on the water. I want to do, it's this, some of the stuff you ask your own, the questions around how your client wants to live when you're trying to find the right home for them. But you're thinking the same thing for you. But then it's more than that too. It's like, what am I going to do when I'm there? Because I'm not going to be spending X amount of hours a week doing this. And some of these other things as we dig down into lifestyle choice, because as we look at an exit, some there's lots of different ways to exit your business too. You can exit just like, here's the key, see you later. Or you can exit on a slow path. And there's, you know, so there's all of that framework too, when you look at the exiting and the different kind of deals structures that you can set up, upon exiting a business and, you know, whatever's working for you. And at that stage, you know, providing you actually are set up properly and have done well, you can pick and choose your exit.
Right.
Yeah. Which is kind of nice, right? It's like, hey, I don't want to exit that way. So you don't have to take that deal. Right. And if you do want to, you do. And, you know, for those that have to exit, they, you know, you have to set up different things. But if you're at a stage in your practice and in your business that it's like, hey, I've been a realtor for 30 years and I've done well and you know, I'm ready to exit now, then it's like, okay, well, how do I want this exit to look? Maybe I still want to be involved. I just want to be the owner. Because I don't want the headaches and hassles of all the payroll and all the different stuff. And it's like, but I still like to sell the odd house and I've got some friends and, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's work this into the deal. And how does that look? Right. And all of those things deserve thought and deserve, you know, some time and deserve some structure. Because if you're planning for that kind of exit, then let's plan for it as opposed to just let it happen when you say, okay, I'm ready to sell. Done. It's like, no, let's spend some time planning so you exit properly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting. We talk about, you know, the launching of your business and the exiting. So much of it does come back to that initial, what's your vision for your life? What, you know, and I think it's funny how it all kind of wraps up with that same kind of statement.
I never really thought of it in the framework of that 7-year framework, though. It's just because we're having this chat today around that sort of stat out there. It's like people move sort of in the 7-year framework. And, you know, when we think about these different things, your thoughts 7 years ago or 10 years ago, whatever the case is, may be very different than they are now. And so if your business has been running sort of on autopilot for the last 7 or 10 years, based on what you wanted back then, and you may want some different things now that you haven't really given a lot of thought to, maybe it's time to make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine what my thoughts were on my life 7 years ago. I would have had he would have been 2 and our second one wouldn't have been born yet. So now things are totally different. And, you know, it's crazy how that happens.
It is. And I mean, my kids are in their 20s now and 2 of them live across the country. So it's like things change. And if your business, again, if your business is set up for that time frame as opposed to this time frame, because you haven't done sort of some serious strategy around what you want out of it and laying that out, then it's time to dig this up. And I think that's the point of this conversation today, Michael, is really like everybody, you know, you owe it to yourself to spend time to really set your business up to give you what you want out of your life. That's why you became a business owner in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, our conversations could always last for hours. There's so much that you can really dive into. But where can people find more from you if they, you know, are really wanting to, you know, maybe they're listening to this and thinking, you know, I've never really thought of these kind of things before. Yeah. Where can they find you to start, you know, going down this path?
Yeah. So, My website is called Simplifying Entrepreneurship. And I know that's a long one, but Simplifying Entrepreneurship. And I've got sort of, I've got all sorts of downloads there, but the one that I think is maybe apropos for this conversation is called The 10 Laws of Moving from Operator to Owner. And that one's at simplifyingentrepreneurship.com/laws, L-A-W-S. And so that's probably a good place to start around this conversation as well. And, you know, I hang out on LinkedIn the most at Pete Moore, M-O-H-R. I'm on all the social channels as well. So you can find me out there, or my podcast that has been running for the last few years is called The Business Owner Breakthrough. And there's just little short clips, 15 minutes or so, around some of these sort of topics, digging in to individual topics that can help you change the way you run your business and have a better life.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely be putting links to all those in the episode description. And again, I really do appreciate you taking the time once again to join us. I really enjoy our conversations.
Awesome, Michael. I really appreciate you having me. Make it a great day.
I want to thank Pete for joining us today and always look forward to our conversations. Remember, if you're interested in learning more, check out the episode description for links to Pete's website and podcast, Business Owners Breakthrough. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.